Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
12 days in, 13 days in, over 8,000 tips. That number just keeps rising. A delivery driver detained, questioned for hours. Home search, then released. He says agents told him his eyes resembled the masked figure. His mother-in-law thought it. That's not going to be a fun Christmas. A black glove recovered 1.5 miles from the home. FBI Director Kash Patel personally posting footage on social media. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, is with us to help us try and understand what's going on behind the scenes, especially when you have a case like this and they're asking for help and people are giving tips. The reality is there's only so many people to run down these tips once they come in, and you got 8,000 or more of them coming in, thousands pretty much on a daily basis right now. How on earth do they handle that load? How do you prioritize when you got somebody saying, hey, I got this video doorbell here. Hey, I think this. Hey, I got this. All different types of tips, different ways of communicating this. And only so many humans to do the follow-up. How are they doing this?
I'm going to tell you, and these were always my favorite cases, is running these command posts and being in the epicenter of this, because it's amazing to watch. You literally have banks of individuals that are taking in these calls. From there, you have these write-ups that are written, and then you have agents that are making decisions, triaging that information. In other words, yeah, we need to get on this. No, this is a cuckoo bird. This needs to be looked at, but it's not as time sensitive. And then you literally have teams standing by of agents and officers that are ready to descend. So here's your next assignment. Here's your next assignment. And you literally have this very organized blitzkrieg of information that comes in, but then is handled as timely as humanly possible. So it's a beautiful thing to see, and this is what the FBI does the best.
Ransom notes. Obviously, we've seen a lot of those come and go, and time windows pass and no money changing hands, and also no proof of life either. A lot of speculation as to, is there any legitimacy to these ransom notes? Do they have anything to do with Nancy Guthrie's disappearance, or are they completely noise? Connected or noise, Jen? What do you think?
Noise. Okay. Listen, this ransom note fiasco is what happens behind the scenes on so many cases. Mm-hmm. This is not unique. What's unique about it is that everybody's hearing about it and watching it play out really, you know, real time, because it's in this case. But these people are extortionists. They are pathetic. They prey on these families and pray for money. But listen, came in 3 days late. They did not target the family. They went straight to the media. When they weren't getting the media play they hoped to get, they went to TMZ, finally got the media play they hoped to get. I really don't think this is going to be connected, and I don't think this ever had anything to do with money. This had to do with torture the family.
Let me ask, okay, why? What's the motive here? What is the motive? Like, just somebody, what are your thoughts?
This is what these people do. It happens with behind the scenes so often. It's unbelievable. They even get the person's voice.
Sure.
They use that. They send out ransom demands with the people's faces. This is not unusual.
Sure. I guess maybe I didn't phrase my question right. I'm not asking why. I get why. I mean, some horrible actor would be like, hey, let's try and, you know, get some money and torture this family. And, you know, but I guess my question more so is if all of these ransom notes are simply noise, and we're really talking about two completely separate cases, take all the ransom out of it, take all of the videos that Savannah and her family has done begging and pleading and we're going to pay and all that, take it all out as if it never happened, as if it's not part of the case. We're just sitting over here left with someone who took Nancy from her home, but they have not asked for any sort of money. They have not done any sort of ransom note. Is that an abduction? What is the purpose there then, I guess? What's the point? Why was Nancy taken? If they're not going to ask for money, if they're not going to try and get something out of this, what the hell happened here?
I see what your point is.
Yeah.
In my opinion, this was an abduction, and I always go back to who benefits from Nancy being gone.
Yeah. Who?
Do you think they knew that this was Nancy? Do you think they knew specifically who they were targeting?
Yes.
Okay.
That this wasn't some sort of B&E gone wrong. I mean, because the other take I had on this is that this was a B&E, and you've known, B&E gone wrong. They freaked out. They'd rather not leave the body there than get charged with murder. If you can disappear the body and you never get caught, then, you know, it is what it is. You're able to get away with something horrible, maybe never intending for it to have gone that bad. But I think that's an interesting element. And I spoke to this last night on Court TV of if this is someone that is not a sociopath, it's not a psychopath, that for whatever reason, you know, thought that the best route to get money to provide for one's family is B&E, is robbery, is whatever. Because there's a lot of people who think that, well, this is the path to take. And they somehow justified it in their mind that they're taking money from the rich old lady who's not going to miss it anyhow, or whatever the hell they're telling themselves. And then something this horrible goes wrong and she dies and they end up trying to get rid of the body. That's a person that probably has a bit of humanity in them compared to like a Koberger or just a straight out psychopath. And my guess is they might be sitting here looking at this in absolute horror, going, oh my God, I can't unwind this, but here I sit right now. And there's more importantly, a lot of other people around that person that are watching this that may know that that person is responsible for this. And either they speak up and turn that person in, or the guilt and the pressure and the realization that, well, the semblances of humanity that I have around me, that I'm caring for, that I'm robbing people for, they're all now seeing me as a monster. And I'm not a monster. I didn't intend to go kill anybody. I didn't intend for all this to happen. But now this mountain of shit has, you know, come upon me. That little bit of humanity there, I wonder if that's going to be enough to make somebody step up at some point and go, this is insane. This is horrible. This is not what I intended. I should have stepped up further. I'm assuming Nancy died at the beginning, honest to God. I don't think they're sitting there, you know, holding her hostage. That's my take on it. But I do wonder if that could play out, if speaking more to the humanity, not just dollar amounts of $100,000 if you turn somebody in, but the humanity of someone who thought B&E was a route to provide and it turned into this shit show.
I just don't buy it.
No?
No B&E.
No?
Multiple people involved. Look, her purse was left behind. Her cell phone was left behind, which I know you could say, well, that's smart.
But if you killed, if she died right away, and I want to say killed her. I want to say if she died right away by some form of freak accident, tripped, fell, maybe was hit or something, you know, maybe had a heart, I don't know. Something where the person's intent was not to go murder her or kidnap her, but that ended up being the course of action that was taken. That's where my mind goes. But, you know, that's just, you know, one of many takes. Let's talk about trucks here. One man told NBC he's been asked twice if he owns a truck. We've got that Circle K gas station saying they've been asking about a truck. What are you taking here? Do you think there's a vehicle of interest that they're looking for out behind the scenes that they're not identifying publicly as of right now?
100%. That Circle K footage is going to have the like Koberger car at some point, right? That they're trying to figure out. I think it's very interesting that later they ended up taking Nancy's car. It made me wonder if Nancy's car was used at all in this and then returned. You know, there's a lot of issues, I think, with how this house and scene was processed. And I'm not trying to Monday morning quarterback. This is obvious to anyone.
Yeah.
Four searches. Does everybody know that? There was the initial search by law enforcement. Locals. The FBI came in and they did everything again. They grid searched, they searched everything. And then remember, the FBI came back because they missed a camera on the roof and they missed the car. Then FBI came back, or law enforcement, I'm not going to say FBI, but law enforcement came back again and did the sewer search. So, or septic tank search. So, you look at all of that, and all that should have been done one time. I never understood. Why didn't you take the mat? Why didn't you take the nest holder?
Yeah, why?
What about, why didn't you search the roof? I think I've shared with you my story of we broke a case because they stored everything we needed in the rain gutters to prove the case.
Yeah.
In plastic. And it wasn't drugs for people who were thinking that. It was indicia of the crime. You have to search the roofs. This is literally investigation 101.
So what the hell's going on here behind the scenes when you have this much, like, are they going back going, oh, well, is it because they don't have much? Because, like, well, what else can we, look closer, guys? There's a sewer we haven't looked at yet, or a septic system we haven't looked at yet. Let's check the roof. Has anybody checked the roof? No, let's check the roof. Or is there information coming in on the back end going, okay, we have now probable cause to look for, not that they need probable cause to go look at Nancy's house, but at this point, is it tips that are coming in saying, go look at this, go look at that, or is it, we're out of stuff to look at. Let's look at everything even closer. And they just keep finding more pages to turn in this choose your own adventure from hell.
Well, I wondered when they went back and realized there was the camera on the roof. I wondered if they didn't, when they went back to Nest, if Nest didn't have footage that they, just like this footage from the door cam. And they said, geez, where did that footage come from? And they realized it came from the house camera. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Got an image here in the yard. What vantage could take that? And then you say, oh, uh-oh, we better go look up on that roof. That's my belief as to how they realized they needed the other camera. And then you'll notice it was right after that Circle K that all of a sudden they wanted her car and to process that. I don't know if there's for sure a nexus. Look, they should have done both. Early on, it shouldn't be, oh, we need to wait on somebody to tell us there's a camera up there, or wait on Nest to talk about some footage. It was just, look, mistakes. Yeah. They should have taken the doormat. They should have on day 11 that camera that Cash Patel put that out. I want to see that night the fent or the tent. I want to see within minutes of that of Cash Patel showing the footage from the stoop. I want to see FBI agents with a tent up doing what they did 2 days later.
Well, we did see the tent up, yesterday?
Finally, yesterday.
I mean, listen, I don't like to Monday morning quarterback. I really don't, because I've been in the shoes of the quarterback, and everybody could pick apart, you know what, the decisions I made and when they made them, but it's stunning to me. I'm just going to say it.
That's the thing. I mean, nobody likes to be Monday morning quarterback, but why is it that it seems like, you know, podcasters and news people and former FBI people, I mean, I've seen so many, you know, people commenting on this stuff, like, why aren't they doing these obvious things? And then suddenly, oh, look, they're doing it, like, because they are getting pressured to do it. This is insane. It's utterly insane. Why does there seem to be this blatant? It's not even like hidden anymore. It's just this blatant level of incompetency that is plaguing this investigation. Is it because there's the two agencies involved and they're not communicating? I mean, there's something is clearly very, very broken here.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna speculate at that. There, I can tell you this: those agents and officers, they are living and breathing this.
I believe it. Yeah,
2 hours of sleep. They're sick to their stomachs. They want to do everything they can to solve this crime, but at the end of the day, it's the leadership, right?
Yes,
it's what is approved. I can go in as a case agent and say, "Listen, we've got to do this, and we need to get it done now." And you know, you do have to have certain authorities to do things.
Sure.
I've said this a long time ago, and again, this isn't going to be popular, but it was something back in 2016 when I retired. It was something that a lot of us old hats, right at that point, I had 28 years of law enforcement in federal law enforcement. And we were like, who's going to do this when we're gone? And I'm not going to talk how great I am or how great all these veterans were, but this is why, Tony, the FBI, after 9/11, there were seven. I'm just going to give you the example of Houston, because that's what I know about.
Mm-hmm.
Seven organized crime squads. All agents were doing were out there working crimes. If you were in the office, you weren't working. That's what the mantra was. Get your butt out there. Get informants. Do surveillance. Beat the bushes. That's how cases are solved, okay? Now I'm going to tell you about the shift. After 9/11, we went to two of our squads.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The other five, guess where all those people went? Hundreds of people. Counterterrorism. How do you do counterterrorism? You sit behind your computer. If you're not in the office, you're not working, and you're working intelligence leads. We always called it chasing ghosts.
Uh-huh.
You're not boots on the ground. You're not conducting investigations. And I will say this, Kash Patel has said none of that. We want to get the focus back on gangs and violent crime and those types of crimes. And that, and he's done that, you know, child porn and assaults and, you know, of children, all of that. He has shifted the Bureau back how it was almost the entirety of the time I was there.
So pure speculation, but is this kind of like one of those things, which does happen sometimes institutionally in institutions where there's kind of a changing of the guard from time to time. Yeah. And there's a generational shift of, you know, everybody who had the reps, they all kind of left simultaneously or pretty close to. And then you have the new generation that's coming in, and there's just not enough folks with reps in there that are able to give the advice, able to give the direction that's based on experience, because everybody's experiencing a lot of this for the first time.
Yes. I think that that's what you see. I mean, you know, I look back, it was funny because I was talking to Chris Swecker. He was the director number one or two, I mean, behind the FBI director at the FBI. And he was one of my first assistant special agent in charge. Anyway, we're very good friends. And we were talking about this, and Ludwig, who was the one who trained me, mm-hmm. he had 23 years in working organized crime from New York. He was a Hooverite in the Hoover days. I had two other guys, the two Martys in forever. Those are who brought me up. And he always laughs about that. He says, you know, you're one of the last ones that were trained by the Hooverites.
Mm-hmm.
Those people. And then so it was really this responsibility of my era then to train. But what you saw happening was a shift in the importance. So, I remember this happening, a kidnapping case happening where our SAC said, nah, we're not going to put the resources we really need on our resources on that. We've got, you know, we're worried about terrorism. And I get it. Terrorism. Sure. Number one, international and domestic terrorism are the top priorities of the FBI. Like I said, Kash Patel is shifting that to some degree, But I just wonder, those people haven't been able to work these cases because they weren't properly.
It's like priority shift for a reason at some time, and then years and decades go by, and then you kind of forget why those priorities were shifted to begin with, and then what also you lost as some of those priorities shifted, and why there was a higher call for priority in certain areas, and then why it was even pulled away to begin with, because you're needing to do and address the issues of the moment. Are we seeing a correction? Is this hopefully a correction that's going on at some point with the Bureau of let's reshift as to the world we live in today, not the one that we reacted to on 9/11?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Certainly, there still needs to be that squads and that priority and all of that on domestic and international terrorism. We have to keep our world safe. But the problem is you don't have agents, I believe, that exist that had the experience of working bank robberies and extortions and kidnappings that came up in my era.
Sure.
And then we were able to pass along of that true investigative. I mean, I'm telling you, when I left the FBI, you were in trouble if you weren't behind your desk. Mm-hmm. That's a sad state of affairs.
Sure, sure. It's reps. That's really kind of what a lot of it comes down to is reps.
It's great stuff. It's knowing. Yeah. I wondered when nobody was out there, and I don't know if you heard me discuss this on Twitter, but literally within like 1 hour of that coming out, maybe less, I said, okay, let's get the height. Let's get the shoe size. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And I was Twittering going, let's go.
I know.
Not just me. I'm not trying to call you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying all FBI agents that have decades of experience are saying that, because we know we would have had our happy asses out on that porch doing that measurement within the first hour.
Maybe we need a FBI mentorship program where some of you guys can come in and help guide from the sidelines.
There's a thought.
Like, hey guys, here's what might work better than what you're doing, because what is going on right now, my God, at the end of the day, let's hope Nancy Guthrie can be found alive. One more question. What's your take on this? Do you think Nancy left the house alive, and do you think she's still alive today?
I really do think she left the house alive. I really do. To me, this is just what I see. This is just my opinion based on the blood trail. Yeah. I think she was carried. I think that's why we see those droplets dripping down. And then particularly where they go to close the door again, she's held longer. And so that's when you see a little bit of spatter, not spatter like somebody being crushed over the head against the wall, but rather the blood dripping. And recall, she was on blood thinner. She has a pacemaker, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
So, and we've seen many pictures of her, that bruising on the hand, which is indicative of people on blood thinners. So it makes sense to me that through, you know, the action that took place against her, she was cut and bruised and bled easily, and I think maybe carried.
Yeah.
Remember, her cane was left behind.
Yeah.
The reporting. But I really do believe she was alive. I think they needed more people involved in this to drive the car, to deal with her, to take her someplace, to stash up. I just think there's more people involved.
And that means more chances for somebody to crack at some point too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's very important, without a doubt. Your thoughts in the comments section, give them to us, Substack or YouTube. The links are in the description, hiddenkillers.substack.com. Join us and give us your thoughts. We'll continue the conversation there in the comments. As always, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, your insight, always so valuable. Thank you so much for coming on today and giving us your thoughts on the latest in this case. Until next time, for Todd, for Stacy, for Jennifer, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. all the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.